once had a snack.
That was in their experimental freaking mushroom days or whatever was going on there. Coming up on TMS, that guy really needed help.
Abe Vigoda has left the building.
Oh, eat the burn.
X-Files did all right.
Trump is out of the next debate.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
One whack, and it looks as if McLaren has chopped enough wood to last all winter.
The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream.
You know, Tom Hanks gets like $5 million to do this all.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. This is The Morning Stream for Wednesday, the 27th of December, January. Jeez. 2016. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Nibbett.
Well, hello.
Brian Nibbett. What's going on, man? How's your morning? What's going on?
Not a lot.
Got up.
On my
got
second
out of bed,
cup of coffee.
Drug a comb across your head. Oh, you don't do that.
I don't.
No.
That would be superfluous.
Yeah.
That would be
a waste of time, really.
It would be a waste of time.
Yeah.
Unless I wanted to scratch my head. Like if my head itched, dragging a comb across, it would probably be really feel really good.
Yeah, that'd be all right. That'd be okay. Are you a fan of
I'd make my right leg twitch uncontrollably.
Do you know those things with a little handle and then they got like the 8 or 6 to 8 wires hanging off of it, like a big spider.
Oh, yeah, looks like a little alien thing, right, that you put on your head?
Yeah, do you ever do that in one of those?
Tina's got one of those, little scalp massager thing, and yeah. I don't think I've ever used it.
It's a lovely sensation.
Does it work? It works for you?
Yeah, it chills you out, calms you down, makes you feel squishy. I like it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, if you know what I mean.
I think I do.
I don't actually know what I mean. All right,
I know what you mean.
We have some cool stuff at the top of the show here for you folks. If this is your first time listening, Brian's bald. That's why I mentioned that. He shaves it. He's not bald by necessarily nature, but he shaves it.
It's a combination of nature and nurture.
Well, nature did its thing, and then you said, "Hey, guess what? Nature going all the way."
Exactly.
Yeah, I like it. You went all in, and I respect it. I got to tell you the story before we get too deep into things.
Okay.
There is construction happening next door to me. They're putting in some new construction, some new homes, kind of all around
me. You had like an empty lot right next to you.
We did, right next to us. And then across the street, there's a big empty space and that's all being filled in, with very, very high priced townhomes, which is good for me in terms of two things. One, it cuts down on the wind shear because we get crazy wind in the summer. It'll block a bunch of that. And the downside is it blocks a beautiful view that I have, although I can just walk down the sidewalk and see the same view. No big deal. But the upside is it improves the value of everybody's homes because these things are really expensive, like high-priced, non-rental, like really nice townhomes, like $400,000 for these things or something. So it's mostly a good thing. Here's the bad thing. They are in a rush to get done because they've pre-sold most of it. And because of that, they aren't just doing the warm months to build. They're doing it all through the winter. Mm. And that's fine, except every morning at 7. Well, I'm up anyway, so it's not that big a deal. But at 7 o'clock in the morning, you start hearing the whatever sounds are going on out there. That's all fine too, Brian. I can live with it. It's not like they're doing it at night.
It's the sound of progress,
Scott. Sure,
that's
sure.
What it is.
This is society's growing pains. I get it. But sometimes they block my mailbox. Sometimes there's a big truck in front of the house that the UPS guy can't get up next to. Or, you know, there's a couple of things.
Not your problem.
Now, again, yeah, livable things that I can deal with. It's fine. But here's the one I'm not sure about. Yesterday, so one of the side effects of all of this is right next to my kind of side drive on the side of the house, they have plopped down a port-a-john, like a construction toilet.
Big plastic blue porta potties.
Yep, except this one is orange. The big old orange one. I don't know why some are orange and some are blue. I don't get that, or green. I don't understand.
Well, the important thing to note is that they're all Broncos colors. Woo!
Yeah, go Broncos. Good point. There's a big horse on the side. Weird. So they put this thing there, and that's fine. And I'm thinking to myself, well, geez, did you have to put it right next to the house? Could you have gone maybe, I don't know, that direction? Or, you know, I was a little bugged at first, no big deal. Yesterday, take the dog out for a little bit. Just chilling, right?
Right.
I hear this sound.
Hey, you guys, there's all the toilet paper. Somebody give me some more toilet paper.
Like that. And I got closer because I wasn't exactly sure what I was hearing. Yeah. So I got a little closer and he goes,
seriously, we are out of toilet paper in here and I'm not getting up until I get some toilet paper.
So there's a dude in there, you know, seeing a man about a horse, if you know what I'm saying.
Right, yeah.
And has no, he's run out of whatever toilet paper would have been in that thing.
Ugh.
And I struggled for a minute as to what to do. And I thought, you know, I could go get him a roll.
Yeah.
And then go in there and hand it. Or knock and say, hey.
I don't think you'd actually have to go in.
Yeah, but knock and say, here, and his hand could come out and grab it
away.
Sure,
sure.
That's weird. It's weird. Okay, it's a little weird if you think about it. Yeah, I'm just the guy that lives in the house over here. I couldn't help but hear you yelling for toilet paper, so yeah. I went and got a fresh roll in the house. So I thought about it, and I didn't help him. And then it bugged me. It was only, we're talking about maybe a minute later. I'm in the house, right. And it's bugging me that I didn't do anything. So yeah. I went, got a roll, went outside. He's gone now.
Okay.
And all I can think about is this poor guy is skidding it up for the rest of the afternoon because somebody didn't bring him any potty paper.
Hopefully he was wearing two shirts.
What's great is no one was around when he was yelling. Like the whole site had been, they were at lunch or something. So everybody's gone except this guy going, hey,
aww.
I'm wearing a toilet paper.
It's like that was your Peter Parker moment. That was the burglar that ran by you, and you chose to do nothing at
first. I know, and he ended up killing Uncle Ben or whatever.
Right, exactly.
Ah, shite. With great power, Brian, comes great
responsibility. You could have done something. You could have, and you know what? You do get points for the wrestle with it for a minute, and then finally you can decide to do something. But,
yeah,
you know, is there just the one porta potty, or are there two?
There is one. There's only one out there. Now, there's some across the street in the other construction they're doing. So it's not like he couldn't have, you know, he could have just walked a yard and a half.
Kind of like pulled up the pants just enough, waddled over to the other one, protected his dignity.
Yeah, if that's possible at that point. Oh. But I left it there. I left the roll there. Thinking,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, if somebody, you know, if they were out. I didn't go in because I didn't want to go in there.
Sure.
I don't need to go in.
Well, where'd you leave the roll? Like just sitting on the ground?
No,
in front
there's
of
like
it?
A little handle thing there, and I just propped it on there. So I just kind of like lean it up against the thing, and it's fine. You know, like so I'm sure it's gotten used. I haven't gone out to check, but I bet if I go out there, it's not outside. It's
so
there.
You know those things have like there's a little window at the top, like a little air hole perforated window deal.
This one had a vent, like a slatted vent. That's how I was hearing him out of there.
Gotcha. So not something you could see through, but
no. It was high. It's up high. Well. I mean, for me, not that high, but it was up higher, and it's like four slats all aiming down.
Okay.
And I should have said something. I don't know. Yeah. I feel bad now that I didn't do it, because this poor guy, I mean, you know, whatever. He probably should have checked paper before he dropped trowel.
Well, you never know in those things.
Yeah, I guess you don't.
Or yeah.
Bring your own little roll in your truck or something. Or,
exactly. Yeah. Just keep it with you. Those are the experienced construction workers, by the way, that do that. That's, you know, the pros.
Ninja Steve makes a good point that it's insult to injury if I left it there because now it's too late. And the guy's going to see the toilet paper and just go, great.
Well,
no.
Because what you're doing is, you know, Bob is going to have a bad day. But the next guy that goes in there is like, oh. There's toilet paper on the side. I'll take this in here with me. Oh, thank goodness for that, whoever that guardian angel was that's looking out for me, because there's no toilet paper in here. And and I had three cups of coffee and a deluxe pork burrito for lunch.
So what you're saying is there was some redemption in
what I did.
Okay.
You may not have stopped the burglar that's going to kill Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
But you did prevent John Jameson from going up into space and contracting the symbiote virus. Oh, no, I guess it was the man-wolf virus.
Wait.
That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
It was man-wolf.
Okay.
In the movies, it was the symbiote. In comics, it was man-wolf.
My wife is really good at this. If there's a guy moving something or there's, you know, the mailman or the garbage man.
Kim would be out there, not just with a roll of toilet paper, but, like, you know, offering him some you know, asparagus and laxatives or
something. Yeah, here's this, and here's a nice bottled water for you, sir. And yeah, she'd go
right,
all the
exactly,
way.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, if you come by the house anytime, I don't care who you are, you're going to walk away with, like, food in your belly,
right.
Some sort of beverage, and a feeling that all humanity might actually be saved one day when Kim treats you well. It might actually happen. We might make it through this, people.
Right.
All right. Also, we got a response. Remember the other day we talked about Dan Klass?
Yeah, we were somebody done an STMS and said, you know, what's your favorite comedy podcast? And I said, The Bitter's Pill.
Yep. And then he talked about that on his show and then had a hard time recalling my name as we played the clip on the show.
That's right. Yeah, we played a clip of him talking about our show and couldn't remember Scott Johnson, which, you know what? In hindsight, is only fair because I think you've probably called his show Jagged Little Pill.
Oh my gosh, you make a really good point.
Yeah, so really, he shouldn't feel at all bad about calling you, you know, not remembering Scott Johnson, which he did remember. He just wasn't 100% sure about it.
I flip it around all the time. His is the bitterest pill, or no, the jaggedest right. pill.
No, his is the bitterest pill.
No, I know, but I call it that.
Pill or the jagged little pill.
Yeah, and then when she's got, we talk about Alanis Morissette's album, it's always the bitterest pill.
Right.
So I first of all, apologize for that. Second of all, he's a venerable podcaster. Been doing this as long as we have.
Yep.
And
well, not as long as we
not
have.
Not quite
but he's
long
been doing
as,
it for a long time.
Yeah, not as long as you have. Let's say it that way. He sent.
He started a little bit after me.
He sent a response. And it's about 2.5 minutes, but I think it's worth playing.
Yeah.
So we're going to play it here. This is Dan Klass.
This, by the way, people, for those of you who are new to podcasts,
yeah.
This is what we all used to do back in the early days.
Big time.
Like, Adam Curry would mention your show on his show, and he'd play a little clip of your show, and you'd play the clip of him playing your clip on your show, and then he'd play the clip of you playing his clip of you playing, you know, it was Inception. All you needed was a guy
it was podcast,
slowly going off a bridge.
It was podcast incest at its highest order.
It really was, yes.
So we're going to do a little of that today. It's this message from Dan Klass. Give it a listen.
Hey there. This is Dan Klass from The Bitterest Pill. And, you know, you guys were nice enough to talk about me a little bit, I think, on Thursday or Friday, Brian brought up my show, The Bitterest Pill, said it was one of his favorite comedy shows. Brian, thank you. And listen, I feel like I have to say this. Scott, I'm sorry. Scott, during the thing that you guys played, I couldn't remember your name. And I admit that is true. I'm not debating that. Just when I record those shows, Scott, I am so hopped up on caffeine that it elicits some sort of major executive function breakdown. Where I cannot recall simple information. So, I'm sorry. I know who you are. I know you're a very powerful man in podcasting. I think part of it, honestly, is a bit of a passive-aggressive kind of thing where I have this thing about you because I sense that you're a very tall man. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, you have awesome hair, those yellow glasses. Do you understand how like the awesome voice and you can draw. It's just irritating in a way. Can you see how that to some smaller, balder men? Like I used to draw. I drew the logo for my show. It took me a week and a half. I think you could do that in your like before your coffee. You could bang out a Bitterest Pill logo. Anyway, Scott, I'm sorry. Brian, again, thank you so much for mentioning the show. Next time, and this is just a suggestion. I'm not saying how you guys do an awesome job of running your show. I would never insinuate to know how to do something as awesome as the morning stream. But if next time you do happen to play a segment of my show, if it could not be just a random clip of me babbling about technical problems, that would be awesome. Anyway, guys, I think you're fantastic. Keep up the great work. I love the show. Please don't ruin your show by playing this. You have a perfectly good show. Please. Okay? But thank you very much for the plug. I do appreciate it. And Scott Johnson.
Yeah.
Scott Johnson.
Never forget.
Scott Johnson.
All right. That was delightful. And as Leo says,
Scott Johnson's got quite the unit.
Yeah, don't forget.
Yeah, well, we know that.
That was great. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, Bitterest Pill, The Bitterest Pill. Check it out. iTunes podcast. It's great show. Really, really funny. And
one of the great pieces of existing living proof that you can do a really, really good, funny, insightful, rhythmic solo show.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is one of the best.
He really is. And,
not easy,
you know, also has made his fair share of commercials and TV shows. He just did recently. Well, recently, last couple of years, he was in, oh, what's that genealogy website?
Oh, Live Long Time. Lifetime Living. Hold on.
Do you know what genealogy is?
Yes, it's the the history of your people there. You got your, it's the people history.
Ancestry.com.
Ancestry.com.
Ancestry.com. He just did a commercial a couple of years ago for that. And if you've ever seen the Alicia Cuthbert movie, The Girl Next Door.
Yes.
He does the narration at the very beginning. Like, he's like the narrator that talks about, oh yeah, and that's when I met the girl next door.
No way. That's totally cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna see if I can find that. Maybe there's a video.
Yeah.
No, I can't find it.
Yeah, we'll find it someday. Someday it'll be on streaming and we'll just play a little, you know, a minute of it or something.
Be a good film sack choice anyway.
Speaking of movies, by the way. So last night, I went to Bridge of Spies, right? So we, you know, but there's only a couple showings left of Bridge of Spies. So you can either see it at 2:30 in the afternoon at the theater by us, or you go a little bit further. And depending on the night of the week you go, this really surprised me. I guess they have a lot of movies that they rotate in and out. Depending on the night of the week you go, you can see it at 7 p.m. At a movie theater a little bit further away from us.
All right.
And we were trying to find, you know, what's a good time. And basically Tuesday night, 7 p.m. is the only prime time airing of this movie. Weird. I guess it's just been out for such a long time. So I thought, God, you know, with the Oscar buzz, I'll bet you there's going to be a lot of people who are going to see this. So just to be on the safe side, I'm going to pre-buy my tickets on Fandango.
Sure. This is the, for those who don't know, this is the Steven Spielberg wartime
Tom Hanks,
deal.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And one of the 8 Oscar nominees this year.
Yeah. Wait, there are only 8? I thought there were 10 this year.
No, they're 8. They're just 8.
Then how did?
Okay. Oh,
gosh. No. It's not about that one movie. Okay. I'm continually bugged that Straight Outta Compton didn't get in the top.
Right. Yeah. Right. Sure.
There's Room, you idiots.
Or Concussion, or Creed, or whatever.
Or any of the black movies. All right. Anyway.
Ride Along 2. How come Ride Along 2 wasn't in there?
How come Friday's next Friday or whatever? All right. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
All right. So I'm recording a couple shows yesterday afternoon, back to back, and I come upstairs and it's like 5:15, and like, Tina, I've got to go because we're going to go get dinner out there beforehand. She's like, yeah, just saw on the thing that Bridge of Spies is going to be online and streaming on February 2nd. I'm like, well, crap, we could have just spent $2.99, watched it from the comfort of our house. I jump into Fandango to see if I can get a refund on the tickets, and unfortunately, no. It's like if it's within 2 hours of the movie start time, then you can't do that. But if I would have gotten to it before 5, boom, I could have canceled my Fandango tickets. We're like, all right, well, let's go down there. We'll see if one of the other 3 movies that we need to see for the Oscars, because we're going to see all the Best Picture nominees.
It's a yearly tradition for you guys. You guys always do
it. It is. So we have Spotlight, Room, Brooklyn, and Bridge of Spies are the 4 that are left.
Mm-hmm.
And we happen to see, as we're heading down to get dinner, that, oh, look at that, Spotlight starts at 7:05.
Okay.
We're going to get our tickets for Bridge of Spies, and then we're going to just tiptoe over into theater number 18, and we're going to see Spotlight instead.
Either way, they get their money.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the one that's got your Birdman.
Yeah.
It's got your Bruce Banner.
Mm-hmm.
It's got your...
Who else you got in there?
It's got your Howard Stark.
Yeah, he's in there. Yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah? your Sterling Cooper? Roger Sterling?
Roger Sterling, yeah.
Sterling?
He's in there.
He's in there.
Fine cast.
Stanley Tucci.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no. Oh, he was the doctor, right, that gave Captain America his powers, gave him the super soldier serum. Wasn't
Did
he
Stanley
no?
Tucci do that?
I can't remember.
I know that Stanley Tucci helped Tom Hanks. No, tried to get Tom Hanks kicked out of the airport in that movie where he was stuck there.
the right where he
accidental
was
tourist
seeking asylum
man
terminal.
That's it.
Yes. Okay. Anyway, so we go get our popcorn. We tiptoe into Spotlight, and guess what? There is one other person in the theater.
Okay.
So it's like, all right, well, Spotlight, no problem. We're seeing Spotlight.
Yeah.
So we grab our favorite seats, which are the ones right behind that bar. Mm-hmm. And we went to an AMC theater, the AMC theater. You know how you've got where you've got the handicap seats, you've got like two handicap seats and then a stretch of those bars, and then handicap seats and then a stretch of those bars. And I like to sit behind where the stretch of the bars is to like stick my feet through because I'm a taller dude.
Yeah.
Well, this theater doesn't have that. All the handicap seats are in the back row of the front section.
Oh.
So the entire front row in front of that walkway is all everybody gets a bar. Like the bar goes all the way across. There's 16 seats across, whatever, and it's like all the way across.
Okay. That sounds all right.
Great. So it's like anywhere we want to sit in this row, mm-hmm. We grab a seat. It's pretty close to the middle. Tina and I sit down. There's only one other person in the theater, so I take my jacket off and I set it in the seat next to me. Mm-hmm. Tina takes her jacket off. She sets it in the seat next to her. We sit there and we watch the 20 with Maria Menounos eating our popcorn and drinking our Diet Sprite or whatever we're having.
Yeah.
Pair of ladies.
Hold on. Diet Sprite? Really?
Well, or Sierra Mist.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'll allow it.
You'll allow it? Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
So trying to lose the weights there, Scott. I'm trying to be a big porky pig here.
Gotcha.
So in walk a couple of ladies.
Okay.
And
I love where this is going.
They walk into our row. Uh-huh. They walk all the way down to where Tina, all the way over to where Tina is sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And she gestures at Tina's jacket and says, "Do you have this seat?" And Tina's like, no, I guess not. And she picks up, Tina grabs her jacket, hands it to me to put on the seat next to me. And the two ladies sit down right next to Tina.
And then the entire row.
Theater,
yeah.
Completely open row. There's nobody else in the theater except for us, the guy who's sitting two rows back. And now these two ladies who have asked Tina to move her jacket so they can sit in the two seats directly next to her.
You are haunted with movies. Every time you go, something dumb happens. So how did it plan out or pan out?
And this woman, you know, proceeds to kind of take over the armrest.
Mm-hmm.
Movie starts. It gets dark in there. And she opens up her purse and pulls out a can of soda. Brings her own soda to the damn movie.
Great. Those are my favorite people.
So, of course, you know, quiet moment. She was actually pretty quiet about it, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
She has a piece of gum. She pulls it out of the wrapper, pulls it out of the pack, unwraps the gum, puts the gum in her mouth.
Yeah.
And then takes the wrapper and sticks her hand out into the space in front of where she's sitting. Just kind of holds it there for a second. Kind of secretively. And then drops the wrapper and pulls her hand back really quick. Like,
really?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I would have been, if it were me, okay, how close are you to the edge? Are you guys in the middle? Where are you?
We're in the middle.
Okay. Yeah. So they're sort of in the middle as well.
Yes.
And no one else ever came to the row?
We had a couple people come to the very outside end of the row on my side, but they sat on the last two seats.
I think I would have been so annoyed by this. I don't know. Maybe not.
I told Tina as soon as they sat down, and I said this, I tried to say this in a way that was loud enough for the ladies to hear. I said, "Tina, would you like to move over one so you can have the armrest?" And Tina's like, "No, I'm fine."
Oh my gosh. But they were fine during the film. No, other than, you know.
Yeah, they were than they're bringing their own can hijinks. We thought, because they were talking all through the previews, Tina and I were looking at each other like,
oh boy,
they are going to freaking talk during the whole damn movie.
Yeah.
And fortunately they didn't, but the guy behind us was a piece of work too. So he just popcorn with his mouth open and he's a loud dude. He's like,
oh gosh.
Right.
Oh.
And then for a while, sucking the popcorn kernels out of his teeth. And then after a while, I can see he must have had a little husk in the back of his throat because he was going,
oh, great.
And like every cough ended with a, like he's, you know, Al Pacino in
with his cough.
Of a woman.
If I were the man I was before, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
Man, so all right. Did you, the bottom line, did you enjoy Spotlight?
Spotlight was excellent. It is
worthy of the adoration of the white
nominee,
voters.
Nomination. Okay. And Mark Ruffalo is also a nominee. He is great. He, you know it's Mark Ruffalo, but he's changed his accent and his style of delivery, and he, you know, the movie takes place in Boston, and he feels like he's a Bostoner.
Oh, that's awesome. I love him in all things, so yeah, I'm
really, really good.
All
so
I've been seeing that.
Spotlight's great, and recommend it. I it's funny because it feels not tonally, but feels like a very similar movie to The Big Short. So The Big Short is all about the housing bubble and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And Spotlight is all about the uncovering of Catholic priests in Boston that were molesting children.
Oh, kind of, a nice light topic then.
Nice light topic, yes. Mm-hmm. Just a happy, fun movie.
Sure.
So both movies are kind of about this, you know, these people kind of discovering this situation and trying to get more information about it and really digging deep and researching. Big Short, way funnier movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially given the content, given the subject matter, but they both feel like very similar movies, like
important, impactful, ripped from yesterday's headlines.
Right,
sure.
Exactly.
Because they're both recent. I mean, obviously one's like set in 08 or so, and the other one's what, like?
2000, 2001 is when the movie takes place, but stuff that happens in there goes all the way back to the late 70s and early 80s.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I want to see both pretty bad. Not as bad as you, apparently, because you go to all these, and I... Usually by the end of all
this. See them all. We just got Room and Brooklyn, and then eventually Bridge of Spies coming out on streaming. Well, and we've achieved it. We're going to see one of those this weekend.
Here's the sound that happened when those ladies walked into the theater and looked at you guys. And then they sat down.
That's exactly right, yes.
All right, one last thing, and then we'll call Daryl. That is this. Yesterday, playing Heroes with some friends. We're working on our team play because we got a new tournament coming up. So we're practicing and getting pretty intense there. And at the end of it, we decided to loosen up a little. They had all really enjoyed our TMS backward masking conversations. And
good.
That mashup you played was amazing and all this stuff.
Yeah, that's such a great song.
So yeah. I decided they wanted to hear what You Can Eat Rice sounds like backwards.
Oh, wow, okay.
So I could say, You Can Eat Rice. That sounds...
Let's see if we can... You and I will both individually come up with what we think it sounds like you're saying.
Okay, all right. So You Can Eat Rice, I think, comes back as...
Oh, no, don't say it, because I don't want to be influenced in what I think it's saying myself.
Oh, all right. So I'm just going to play it, and then down. you tell me what you think it says. So here we go, and we can do it a couple of times.
C-R-E-N-I-C-W-E.
Okay, one more time.
C-R-E-N-I-C-W-E.
You got it?
Let's see here. Hold on. One more time.
C-R-E-N-I-C-W-E.
God, I've got C-R Eaton. C-R Eaton-I-C-W-E. Which is Portuguese for thank you, Satan.
All right, you want it? I wrote down.
What did you hear?
I heard C-R-E in the Queen.
C-R-E in the Queen. Oh, because she's taking ecstasy.
Yeah, see, look at our E in the Queen, because she's evil. And so here's again.
C-R-E in the Queen.
Yeah,
Queen. Oh, my gosh.
The Queen's taking E.
The Queen is taking ecstasy, and we have proof.
Oh, the kids today, how do they suffer this satanic injustice with seeing the Queen taking E? When really it was just this, you can eat rice. How soft and simple that must be. But no, it's look at the E in the Queen.
Right.
C-R-E in the Queen.
Oh, man, that's stark, scary stuff right there.
It is. Okay, anyway, good job, see?
Eric also gave me, he says, hey, say this, and he gave me a weird, like, jumble word that made no sense, and then said, now play it backwards, and it totally said, F you. So I can't remember what it was, and I didn't record it. I should have, but anyway.
Oui, fait.
Yeah. So as always, we owe our thanks.
Thank you, Satan.
Thank you, Satan.
Thank you, Satan.
Let's, let's call Daryl, I guess. I see a thing here for him. Let's see. Whoop. I can feel it coming in the air. Here it is.
You ever look down at your hand and you've got like a bloody wound and you don't know how it happened?
No. It's not a, well,
apparently
not,
just happened to me.
Not as a common occurrence, but that doesn't mean anything necessarily.
Should see the other guy.
It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
Hypothetical Help with Scott and Terpster. Brand new episode today. Get some bad advice today at hypotheticalhelp.com.
Mm-hmm. And on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sure, that's a good place to get it.
Yeah. We had a good time with this one. I think this might be the one where he does a really good Richard Attenborough for like 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, okay, I haven't checked the edit yet, but I think
does he,
so.
Does he actually give advice as Richard Attenborough?
I think so. He's like, here we see the wild... Blah, 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 blah. I can't remember what he did, but it's
fantastic.
Pretty good. Fantastic. It's pretty good. Daryl, are you there?
Yes. Oh. You want to know what I heard?
You want to know what I heard? Heard.
Hey, hey Daryl, what you heard?
What I heard in your backwards clip thingy.
Yeah.
Seattle eating wheat.
All right, let's try it again.
Seattle eating wheat.
Oh, my gosh. You're right. And what does that mean? Wheat is street talk for pot. It's for pot brownies. Seattle eating the wheat.
Seattle eating wheat.
Seattle eating wheat.
Oh, my gosh. CRE and the Queen on the WB this fall, says Tony Dragosa. All right. I'd like this game.
Zoe
is,
Deschanel.
This is a fun game. In fact, I think we'll do further things down the road just to sort of prove the point that backwards masking is stupid. Mm-hmm. All right. Daryl is the Trek nerd. He's here on the show for this week. I'm just going to give people a little hint here. Let me drop a little Johnson on you. This week marks the last week of what you expect every day out of this segment. Segment's not going away, but what you think you're going to get isn't exactly what you're going to get starting Monday.
Wow.
So enjoy it while you can. You got two more of these, and then all bets are off Monday. Daryl still doesn't know because I'm holding off. I'm being cruel and not telling him.
Right.
Oh, you know, it might be another week before I know because I'm not here next week.
Oh, you're gone next week?
The whole next week?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we'll. Wow. That's all right because that'll give me some more time to do some things that I want to do. So that's fine. Where are you going to be? Oh, you're doing all your estate stuff and your mom stuff and all that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, what a pain in the butt that must be.
Yeah.
And also sad because, you know, you miss your mom and all that.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
sorry.
It'll all work out because everything does. Daryl, let's get to it here. This is your next generation question about the first duty. Like the guy in the little orange John next to the house. The first duty, this is the episode, Wesley!
Take your first duty in my ready room.
Oh, man, Picard is into stuff I don't want to think about. And his Nova Squadron, these are his pals, he calls them homies here in the question, are trying to cover up a death of a fellow squadmate who died when they tried to perform the Kolvord Starburst, which is the least favorite flavor of Starburst. I don't like that one at all, the Kolvord flavor. The squad mates say that Joshua Albert died doing what type of flight maneuver? So they tried to perform something called the Kolvord Starburst, but it was a specific maneuver that got him killed. And if you remember, this was Commander Paris, although that wasn't his character, but the actor who played Paris in Voyager, it was him telling Wesley to lie.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. And I, for the longest time, thought that he was supposed to be the same character on Voyager.
Well, I still think that.
Well, they basically are the same. I mean, he was kind of a disgraced pilot.
Right.
Arrogant. He was all the things that this other guy was, but apparently they were separate dudes. Anyway, here are your options. A, Delta Loop. B, the Corrigan Turn. Excuse me, the Kugran Turn. Kugran?
Koyagran.
Koyagran Turn. C, the Jaeger Loop, like Chuck Yeager, you know? Mm-hmm. Or D, the Talon Roll. Mmm, that's so good down the sushi place. Give me two
especially
talon
when the
rolls.
Talon's fresh. Yeah. You can really taste the flavor.
Fresh eagle talon? Mmm, that's sushi right there. Anyway, those are your options. Delta, Koigrin, right?
Koigrin.
Koigrin. Jaeger or Talon. Think about them real hard while you share with us this. Today in Star Trek history. Second to last one.
On this... Oh, that's a clue.
There's a hint for you.
On this day in 1940, James Cromwell was born. He was Zefram Cochrane in First Contact.
That'll do, pig. That'll do.
Yes.
Wait, how old does that make him?
What year did you say he was born?
1940.
Okay, so
1940.
That would put him, hold on, I'm trying to do the math here.
183, 70, by my count.
70-something.
Six.
76. Well, he's a cool dude. I like that guy.
Yeah.
Lots of movies, lots of interesting stuff. He's he's a national treasure.
He is.
He was Best Supporting Actor nomination for Babe, the original pig movie. And I don't think he won, but he was really good in that.
Yeah.
That movie's great. And not just because George Miller made it. All right, let's move on to what are we doing now? Oh, let's get back to the question. So mull this one around, Daryl.
According to Dice Tomato, by the way, they didn't want to pay the original writers for the rights to the original character that he played on Next Generation.
Oh.
So every time they used him in Voyager, so they changed the character for Voyager.
But they were planning on using the same
They were planning on using the same, making him the same character in Voyager. Oh,
that's interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Also, to celebrate Zefram Cochrane, let's do a little moment here.
That'll do, Pig. That'll do.
Oh, that's adorable.
Now let me go inside and cook you.
That's right. I'm going to eat you later.
I'm going to make some bacon with you.
I'm going to make rinds out of your skin.
All right. Got a little dark.
Wow.
Got a little dark in here. All right, let's turn the light back on. Daryl, negotiate your questions here. Evaluate.
Well, this is kind of, I would think, a well-known thing. Mm-hmm. And I know it, so I don't think I should go through all this fakery of trying to figure it out.
The rigmarole?
The ins and outs, the ups and downs, the...
The loops and turns.
The loops and turns, the chutes and ladders. Sure. The yeah. What else? The twists, the over and under, right? All that stuff. Okay, fine. Hey, you get to it. However you want to get to your destination, you get there.
Okay, ow. I remember this because
I just jammed my finger on my desk. Sorry, go ahead.
Jaeger is the famous flight guy, and so of course they would name this after him, and so that's what it was.
All right. Well, let's see if he's the famous flight guy. Is that what your description of Chuck Yeager? The famous flight guy? Okay. Yeah. Well, let's find out if that's right. Is that correct?
Congratulations.
It indeed is.
You're a winner.
This is from season 5. They claim to be performing a Yeager loop when their squad mate died. However, Picard calls Wesley out on his BS. Here's a clip of that going on.
Love that.
I was convinced you could be an outstanding officer, and I never questioned that conviction until now.
The first duty of every Starfleet officer is to the truth, whether it's scientific truth or historical truth or personal truth. It is the guiding principle on which Starfleet is based. Now, if you can't find it within yourself to stand up and tell the truth about what happened, you don't deserve to wear that uniform. I'm going to make this simple for you, Mr. Crusher. Either you come forward and tell Admiral Brand what really took place, or I will.
Wow.
Captain. Dismissed.
That's hardcore.
Now take off that uniform.
Now.
Slowly.
Ew. Ugh. All right. Let me wash that out of my eyes. There's the deal. There are three truths. Exactly, Tondragosa. All right.
I think there's another little factoid about today in Trek history with that episode. I think this was the last day of filming on it, and they filmed all the park scenes today.
Park scenes?
The exterior building scenes.
Wait, there were park scenes?
They were outside in the academy, like when...
Yeah, with Boothby and all that.
Oh, right, Boothby. He was the teacher.
The gardener.
Who was mad at Spicoli for getting a pizza in class.
That's but right. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time, Mr. Hand?
Oh my gosh, Mr. Hand. That's it. Kind of
I don't know. Mr. Spicoli, I'm going to leave that up on my blackboard all day long.
You know what I just thought of? Is that why South Park named the puppet that teacher has Mr. Hat?
I don't know.
Huh. Interesting. I wonder if there's a connection there. Anyway, Daryl, good job. You did it. Tomorrow, you need to make sure you do it. You got to make sure you get it right tomorrow, or there's hell to pay. Daryl's the Trek.
Let's just say that your future on this show depends on it.
Entirely. Not really. It doesn't at all. But anyway, it's Trek Nerd Daryl. He's the Trek Nerd on Twitter, and you can find him there or also at the This Week in Trek, This Week in Trek show, or the Grumpy Cast, or just do it all together. Why not? Daryl, now as you leave us, why don't you share with us your own gift, your own quiz.
Star Trek planet or cartoon planet?
Okay, like yesterday, I like this one.
Sure.
Do I have a, maybe I have a theme?
Let's planet see. Man.
Here's a...
I'm going to be using
no,
the
I
tenderest...
don't want that one.
Hello there.
There you go, I like that one.
I feel the need to sing along with that, but then it's not long enough.
I know.
Marvel.
Marvel?
Marvel? Marvel.
You know, Marvel. Like Marvel Comics?
M-A-R-A-V-E-L?
Miss Marvel? Yep. Captain Marvel?
Marvel. Marvel. Marvel.
Marvel. Marvel.
Cartoon Planet or Star Trek Planet?
Yeah. And these could be from the animated series. I just want to clear that up, right?
Right, in which case it would be both.
It'd be both. It's the possible trick to all of these questions. I don't know. Yesterday was Star Trek, right? It was DS9 or
it
something?
It was. Yes. Right, yes. Yeah. It was Ren Hoek's planet.
Yeah. Right. And it was like an homage or something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, dude.
I don't think we can ever depend on it being, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I would, let's see. If I were, then this is really 50-50, but I could see it being used in the old Marvel cartoons as an alien planet that was kind of like a little, you know, like a little clever inside.
Yeah.
Jokey joke.
I could see that too. They used to do that a lot.
Yeah.
I think we say that just because there's, I mean, who cares? If we get it wrong, we get it wrong, but I think we say that. I like that. Also, here's Brian saying, thank you, Satan.
Thank you, Satan.
All right. all right. So we say, we'll say cartoon. We'll say animated or what, or, you know, otherwise cartoony.
This was a rainforest planet inhabited by dragons. And the very first thing you said was exactly right. It was from the animated series.
Oh, so does it count? Really? Did we get it right? Because it's a cartoon?
Yes, it counts either way.
So it's both Star Trek.
Yep, it is both.
Give it to me one more time. Marvelin?
Marvel.
Marvel. I hate that name.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
The more I say it, the more I dislike it. It's time for what? This.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It is the news brought to you by.
Brought to you by Coverville, where today on the show, it's three and a little bonus extra. We're going to have cover stories for Madness, because it's Sugg's birthday, the Motels, because it's Martha Davis's birthday, and the Arctic Monkeys, because it's Alex Jones's birthday, and the world exclusive of a brand new cover recorded by Paul and Storm that you can only hear on Coverville. That is today at 1 p.m. Mountain Time. Nice. Coverville.com/live.
That's great. I always like little exclusives. That's good.
Yeah, we're going to do a cover every month in 2016, a brand new cover from Paul and Storm every month in 2016. So
that's an awesome little arrangement.
It really is. We came up with the plan in at Dragon Con.
Oh, nice.
Well, those are very nice. Very nice guys.
And they're the best. They're the best.
Very nice of them to do this.
You know who I really like is I like Storm's beard. I like that. That's something I like.
Yes. Did I say Alex Jones or Alex Turner?
I don't know.
Okay. I think I meant to say Alex Turner. Good news just reminded me that Arctic Monkeys is Alex Turner.
Bachman Turner Overdrive. Attorneys at law. Abe Vigoda, sunken-eyed character actor. That is literally the headline, by the way, at abcnews.com.
Sunken-eyed character actor.
I'm really bugged that I tried to find the best headlines, and they all told the same story that he died. But the one that jumped out was this one on CBS News that called him Abe Vigoda, sunken-eyed character actor, dead at 94. It's not a very flattering headline.
No, it really isn't. Yeah.
But anyway, Abe Vigoda, whose leathery, sunken-eyed face
golly
made him ideal for playing
an old man smell.
Yeah, an old man smell and incontinence made him ideal for playing the over-the-hill detective Phil Fish in the 1970s TV series Barney Miller and the doomed mafia soldier in The Godfather. He died Tuesday at the age of 94. Vigoda's daughter, sunken-eyed Carol Vigoda, Fuchs. shit, they didn't say that. Told the Associated Press that Vigoda died Tuesday morning in his sleep at Fuchs' home. Boy, you really got to be careful with that last name.
Yeah, you got to hope that's how it's pronounced.
Because it's F-U-C-H-S. Right. And I could see going another way. Anyway. Sure. In Woodland Park, New Jersey, the cause of death was old age. This man was never six, Fuchs said. Vigoda worked in a relative obscurity as a supporting actor in New York theater and in television until Francis Ford Coppola cast him in 1972's Oscar-winning The Godfather. Vigoda played Sal Tezio. I have not ever seen The Godfather. I know. It's on a list of shame for me. I don't know why I haven't seen it.
Well, I now feel better about having not seen an episode of Knight Rider in Magnum PI.
Right. Well, I mean, that movie came out when I was 2 years old.
Whatever.
And to me,
you never seen a movie that was filmed before you were born?
No. But here's the. I mean, yes. But
here's some westerns you've seen.
It's true.
Black and white westerns.
It's true. But here's the thing: when I got older, it seemed like something my grandpa wanted to see, and so I rebelled against anything that seemed like old people things.
It's a freaking classic. Both The Godfather and Godfather 2 are amazing.
I want to see them. I really do.
The only sequels ever nominated for an Academy Award, by the way.
That's true. Are these things streaming someplace? Because I need to watch them. I've always meant to and then just never get around to it.
I don't know.
But it's not avoiding it until... I mean, sure, after I was 18, I stopped avoiding it. Let's put it that way.
And as much as you loved...
Apocalypse Sopranos. Now? Oh, Sopranos. Yeah. Oh, I love Sopranos. Yeah. No, I realize like mob culture as portrayed in film and stuff owes its whole lineage to The Godfather for sure.
Right.
I just need to see it. I'll get around to it.
Yeah. No, not streaming on Netflix anyway.
I could rent it, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did a similar, it's kind of a Coppola thing generally. I hadn't seen Apocalypse Now until about a year ago.
Mm, wow.
I loved that.
Yeah.
It's horror.
Yeah, I really liked it. I didn't like how much Martin Sheen looked like Charlie when he was younger, though. That kind of weirded me out, but whatever.
Yeah, he looks a lot like Emilio, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah. So they're telling the story here for some dumb reason. I don't know why. They're telling the Godfather storyline instead of talking about him dying. But anyway, the main point is this. Sunken-eyed character actor Abe Vigoda had about 50 death hoaxes over the years.
Right, exactly. And I think even was it David Letterman? Who used to do the game where, you know, dead or alive, and they list off a bunch of names?
Yeah, and Abe Vigoda was always in it.
And Abe Vigoda, and he'd always close out with, and Abe Vigoda is still alive.
Yep, exactly. And it became kind of a meme here recently in the last few years where, you know, oh, Abe Vigoda, how is he still around or whatever? And now he's actually dead, and I was so sad to hear it. He seemed like a real nice guy. 94, man, could we all live that long? That'd be great.
Right.
And if my cause of death is old age, bring it.
Right.
Ben and Jerry, they're not dead. They're alive. One of the co-founders of Ben and Jerry's has introduced a new flavor. Ben Cohen, specifically, the co-founder.
That's the flavor?
No, the Ben Cohen flavor. The Cohen brothers flavor. No, the co-founder of the Vermont-based ice cream brand Ben and Jerry's is showing his personal support for Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. He feels the burn. With an extremely limited edition ice cream flavor he named Bernie's Yearning.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not eating that.
Yeah.
I'm not eating Bernie's Yearning.
Bernie's Yearning?
I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want it. He says, we've never done anything like this, he told the in an interview Wednesday on Skype, or Tuesday rather. Cohen said he is producing Bernie's Yearning in his kitchen. With his home ice cream maker, it is a mint chocolate chip flavor, but with one big difference that makes this flavor participatory, he says.
Uh-huh.
All the chocolate chips in each pint are in one solid mass at the top of the ice cream container and require the eater to break up the disc of chocolate and blend the pieces in the ice cream.
Well, that just sounds lazy.
That is a little lazy.
Right.
It's also socialism 101. Basically,
what does that have to do with Bernie Sanders? Like,
the idea is
bust up the wealth and spread it to all the.
That's basically it.
Lower class.
That's basically it. Spread the wealth around. That's exactly it. Actually, I think.
Oh.
I think this sounds like a dumb idea, but whatever.
Really? Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like politically based ice cream flavors. It bothers
me. No, but that. Regardless, the name of that is absolutely horrendous.
What would you call the Trump one? Trump. Chunks or Trump clumps. What would you call
Trump
it?
Clumps.
Yeah. Clumps of Trump. Trump tiramisu. I don't know.
Let's see.
Make America grape again.
There you go. Now we're talking. You've just done it. Perfect. By the way, Dice Tomato says, I'm just waiting for SNL to do a Weekend at Bernie's joke. Well, this weekend, the host is Larry David.
Yeah.
So
your best chance is now.
I suspect that there will be many Bernie Sanders bits.
Another show I've never seen is Curb Your Enthusiasm. I want to, though.
Oh, my God.
I know.
You're killing me.
Well, I never
had.
I mean,
you've got HBO Go.
Yeah, but how long? Well, now I do. Or HBO Now. Yeah,
whatever.
I have it now.
HBO Go Now.
And it's sitting there looking at me going, you want to watch me? And I just haven't gotten to it. I mean, we're watching Nurse Jackie.
It's the unofficial sequel to Seinfeld.
No, I know. And it's as Seinfeld-y as you're going to get.
It's right. There's no show with more DNA in common with Seinfeld than Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I wish, yeah. How was it for kids, by the way? Like, could my teenager son see it? Or is it too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
It's not too gnarly.
Really liked it. He called it the Grumpy Man Show.
But you wouldn't
couldn't remember Larry David's name.
But you don't think it's because it's HBO. I always assume that everyone's got their wieners or boobs out all the time.
Well, no, there's no wieners and boobs. Larry David does get a pubic hair stuck around his uvula in one episode, but.
That's all right. That's Seinfeld level.
It's not a spoiler.
Yeah, I mean they've seen the game. They've seen what are some of the other Seinfeld ones that are. A little run. There's, you know, they had their
the
moments.
Contest? Yeah.
Yeah, the contest, not the game. Yeah. The game.
The game. That's when Kramer buys Jerry that experience where it makes him think that he's running from getting killed.
Yeah.
And
jumps off the roof and lands right. In a big
right.
And
needs a bunch
thing.
Of keys in the glove compartment and
that's the one
clown that with a camera inside.
Who was the brother in that?
It was Sean Penn.
Sean Penn. That's right. Yeah. Spicoli. I really liked him in that.
Yeah, our second Sean Penn reference today.
Yeah, wow. It's over the top, man.
Wait till we talk about Mystic River a little bit later in the show.
Oh, good Lord. Actually, I really like that movie, too. All right. X-Files did pretty good numbers. 16 million people watched it.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
We were two of them.
It was a big assist from the NFL that was a lead-in there. So you had some playoff games, and then you went straight to your X-Files there.
Oh, yeah. Arizona and the Panthers.
Yep, 18 to 49, a age group tuned in at the tune of 16 million viewers. That's pretty good. How did the, let's see, I'm trying to look and see how it compared to other channels, 13 million viewers. Yeah, it dwarfed everybody else.
Well, all you have to do is look at the very bottom of what you put in the show notes.
Yeah, it killed them. Looks like CBS only had 8.7, NBC 4.9, ABC at 4, Univision at 2.1. CW had 2 million, Telemundo had 1.5, and Ion Television had 1.4.
Mm-hmm.
Those are a lot of people watching Telemundo and Univision. I would recommend John Donald Trump lay off the anti-Latino rhetoric a little bit if he wants to get elected.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Just a tiny bit.
There was nothing competing on Sunday. I mean, very little competing on Sunday. It's not... Sunday used to be the pay cable treasure trove when you've got your game, like when Game of Thrones is going on, when the season of Game of Thrones is going on, that's a great one. And
yeah, all bets are off and that's on.
Yeah.
Did you see the second one then?
I've not seen the second one yet. I did not realize that it was
a two-parter.
It was Monday night. Well, no, I knew it was going to continue, but I didn't realize that, that Monday night was going to be its actual home. So we recorded it. Actually, I think we're going to watch it on Hulu, but, yeah, I have not watched it yet.
Well, I want to. And I keep hearing
you
the
second.
You
want to believe?
Yeah, I heard the second one's real good. So
good.
I'm excited about that. Final note here. Donald Trump, speaking of which, will not be, in his words, definitely not participating in the GOP
debate.
Not a
fan.
Yeah, not a fan. Two stars. Would not go back. He's not going to do the final debate before Iowa. This is a Fox-based debate. A GOP presidential candidate will face off Thursday.
Right.
Or candidates will face off Thursday before next week's Iowa caucuses, this time without Donald Trump. Fox News, which is hosting the event, announced on Tuesday which candidates made the cut for the primetime event. In a shift from the last debate earlier in the month, Senator Rand Paul will be on the main stage. Paul's flagging poll numbers dropped him to the undercard debate, which he chose to skip in protest. Trump's campaign manager, Corey
Lewandowski?
Playing forward for the Penguins. Confirmed to the Washington Post on Tuesday that GOP frontrunner is definitely not participating in the Fox News debate. Earlier in the day, Trump teased he will most likely not participate. Now it's official. This is all because of his ongoing feud with Fox News anchor and hot Betty debate moderator Megyn Kelly. That's how he would put it.
Yeah,
he doesn't like her.
She's hot, but low energy.
Low energy, not a fan. Loser. She's a loser.
She's a loser.
You know, I had someone on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, Randy Pitchford, or somebody tweeted something that really caught my eye this morning. He said, what if Trump held a press conference during and as long as the debate?
The debate, like, basically had, like, a competing...
Yeah, what would happen? And I hate to say it, but people would watch that. They wouldn't watch the debate. They wouldn't. What a freak show. All right.
Yeah.
Moving on. Let's take a break. When we come back, recommendals. It's we got Nicole back in our lives.
Yay.
Well, she was here last week. Wasn't she? Oh, no. She was gone last week.
She was not. She had a doctor's appointment.
That's right. So today we got a theme, we got a thing, and we're going to do it. So that'll happen then. Tom's Tech Time, of course, emails and some calls after that. Before all that, though, music.
Sure. Well, Chris wrote in twice and said, hey, Wednesday, January 27th will mark my 30th birthday, and I'm hoping you can play me a song. I was going to suggest that you play the number one song from the Billboard Top 100 of 1986. However, none of the first nine appeal to me. Number 10, however, is a song that's hard to dislike, and I've got to imagine there are a ton of covers to pick from. Yada, 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 Chicken Tender Ranch, something another.
Oh, really?
Something or other.
Damn.
The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
Oh, the way, by the way, Dalton on Twitter. Yeah, I know. I know we play that a lot. Tough poo. We're going to keep playing that when people reference it. It's a meme. It's what we do here on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, keep going.
Thanks, Chris in Toronto. Then he followed up and said, hey, I already submitted a request for Robert Palmer's Addicted to Love to celebrate my 30th birthday, but I just remember that I share the day with Mozart. So while I'd still be happy with my first request, if you have any covers of Mozart, I think that would fit the bill. Mm. Yada, 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 Chicken Ranch, yada, yada. Thanks, Chris.
I'm not playing it twice,
you don't
Chris.
You played a second time.
Nope. Yeah.
So I did have a couple of covers of Addicted to Love, and we've played the Florence and the Machine version, which I think is probably the best of the covers of that song. So I decided to go the Mozart route. This is excellent. You're going to love this. This is a band called Brave Combo, and on their 2003 album Box of Ghosts, they do a bunch of covers like this, and it's like covers of instrumental classical songs that done in this kind of new style, almost polka.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Whatever you want to call it, it's fantastic. This is Mozart's Rondo alla Turca, covered here by Brave Combo.
As he drove his car underneath the Paramount Pictures cream and gold arches and into the studio parking lot, he felt his pulse rate quicken. He even now disliked the Spanish tile roofs of the studio because it reminded him that Gail was far away in Seattle, surrounded by evergreen mountains and cool, crisp air, and she had never been here in the Southern California sun with him making love to him.
Bing, 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 bing.
Americans can be very useful. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back. I don't know what that clip is. It's really weird.
So is that from like the, that's a book on tape?
That's, I guess so. It's like a weird, it's this thing, this Church of Gale YouTube site that someone sent
right,
me.
Okay.
And I started just recording random bits from
God,
it.
God, it's so poorly recorded.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's just bad. But hey, we'll take what we can get. I am calling Nicole Spagnuolo now. Spagnuolo. And we're going to do a little thing we here in the show like to call recommendals.
Woo!
Yeah, it should be a good time. Oh, Nicole. My sweet Nicole. Nicole Spag, what's going on?
I'm having breakfast.
Oh, perfect timing then. Yeah. Hey, breakfast.
What are we having?
Look at you at 10 o'clock. That's more like brunch or something, isn't it?
Eggs and toast. Well, when you're someone like me that stays up all night with a baby.
Oh, that's true. How's that going? Everything going good?
No, we have, for the most part, it's good nights. Last night was a really, really rough night. She was up every hour. Just as I would fall asleep, she would wake up.
Are we at teething stage or where are we at?
I think we're getting into that territory.
Yeah, that's the one that put like 80 pounds on Terpster here recently. He seems to.
Terpster teething?
No, his baby was, though.
Oh.
And he, his beard got longer and he seemed to gain a little weight from that. So
it's rough. It's
it is rough.
It's your own personal hell that you go through.
I remember those days. And then when they're 16 and they're being a poop stinker one afternoon, you'd be like, damn it. Do you know how many nights I stayed up with you? And they won't care.
The look you have right now is I just woke up, took a shower, and started to eat.
Yeah, there you go. I like it. It's a good look. It's Recommendals. It's with Nicole, and we come on the show. We talk about recommendations of streaming stuff that usually based on a theme here lately. And our theme this week, Brian, you know it. Remind us. What is the theme?
Movies that feature either a jock, a nerd, or a punk, and a prop that is colored either red, white, or blue.
Okay.
Using the double feature game to find all these wonderful themes.
Correct. And we've gotten a lot of feedback that people purchase that game and love it.
I love it. It's fun.
So I'm happy to hear that that we have drawn people to another cool experience like that.
Sure.
We start typically by playing a clip from Brian's selection and then trying to guess what it is. And then he tells us what it is. And then we move on from there. Brian, you want me to play your clip?
Play my clip.
Here it is. It's Brian's recommendal clip.
Welcome to Belize.
When is the last time five of us were in the same place at the same time?
To old friends.
Woo! The house, retirement, Belize. You think it's legit? Don't you?
Milo, there's something on the bottom of your pool. It's schoolyard rules around here. Somebody pushes, you push back.
Are you saying we stole this boat?
You just implicated us in piracy.
The boat belongs to a psychopath. He's very dangerous.
Okay, I'm out of here.
Let's go. Let's just go.
If we run, they will track us down.
You made your choices. I made mine.
All right, I know what this is because I saw the pilot, and I still haven't dug into the full show, though. But this is Mad Dogs on Amazon, right?
It is. Oh, it's the adventures of... It's on Fox, right?
Nope.
No. It's Mad Dogs.
Mad Dogs on Amazon.
And it is, it's really good. Brand new series, 10 episodes on Amazon, Amazon Video. And it's really good. Good set of actors. You get your Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos. You've got Romany Malco, who was on Weeds for a while. You've got the amazing combination of both Billy Zane and Steve Zahn.
Yes.
Zane and Zahn in the same thing.
Yeah. Let's just say one of them you don't have for a long time, but
right.
Yes, they are there. And Steve Zahn's amazing.
Steve Zahn is amazing. Steve Zahn is kind of the nerd of the group. He's that's what made me kind of pull that together. And the prop is a white boat that comes up very prominently. It's like it's basically the focus of the first several episodes.
There are funny moments. There are very dark moments in that pilot. Now, I haven't seen the rest of the series, but I assume it follows suit.
It follows suit, and I'd recommend this to anybody who enjoyed Breaking Bad because it's got that kind of one bad decision that sets in the chain of motion several decisions where the prudent thing is to make another bad decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. To fix the first decision.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
that?
I said to fix the first bad decision.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So
for a minute there, I thought it was Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, that would have been cool.
You know what? It's it's kind of a dark version of Weekend at Bernie's. Yeah.
In a way it is. And it's also based, it's apparently based on a British show that was very popular, a British drama right. that happened. And then they remade it here. It was during that pilot season a couple of seasons ago. And Amazon was like, all right, which of these shows are we going to do? And I want to say this showed up the same time as Man in the High Castle did for pilot consideration. Mm. And they signed off on both at that time. And I remember being real jazzed because I liked them both a lot.
Yeah.
And it's nice to hear that they followed through on it. So I need to
Amazon's
watch it.
Amazon's doing some cool stuff lately. Yeah.
Their original programming is some of my favorite anywhere. Like I Man in the High Castle is still my favorite thing I saw last year, period.
Yeah, and I still haven't seen Transparent, but obviously the accolades and stuff that it's getting
yeah, that's
really
good too. And that's got a second season. I haven't seen any of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Damn it.
It also has what's her name? Alison Tolman from Fargo. Mm. She was in that first season of Fargo. She's in there. A lot of great actors are in there and some people. It's like, oh, yeah, I kind of know that guy. But the whole thing takes place in Belize and a bunch of buddies are brought to Milo's new swinging pad, his like palatial mansion on the beach. Yep. And stuff goes wrong from there.
Clarity ensues.
Real wrong.
Clarity ensues.
Goes real wrong real quick.
Right.
Exactly. All right. Well, here is my clip of something. You're going to have to figure it out. It's going to be so easy. It's ridiculous. And I'm also kind of cheating. So here you go.
There are many kinds of beetles in the world, but this one has some of the biggest jaws of all. He is Darwin's beetle. He's on his way to the forest to look for a mate.
All right. Any wow. guesses?
I love
is that dude name. Where's my car?
No.
It sounded a lot like Ashton Kutcher right there.
What do you think, Nicole?
Did you say you're cheating?
A little bit.
You always cheat.
I don't always cheat. I always cheat.
Tell me what your prop is.
All right, my prop is, okay, I'll tell you what it is first.
It's a little white beetle.
It's the BBC's Life documentary. It's made by the same people and narrated by the same guy, David Attenborough. It's the same people that made Planet Earth. Life, I think, is actually the superior thing, and that says a lot because I think Planet Earth is insanely cool. I've been watching this on the treadmill, and it's all I've had.
I love how you just try to shoehorn whatever you're watching.
No, no, no. Hold on. I can fit all this stuff in. So here you go.
Okay.
So here's the jock and the nerd part. All right. I got a jock and a nerd in here. And I told Brian about it. Maybe I did. I can't remember yesterday. I think I did. But there's this beetle, not this beetle, but a different beetle when they're doing the insect stuff where he has this white marking on his back that's supposed to warn mongooses and other animals that he can squirt like acid in their eyes. Okay. So there's the jock. It's pretty cool. He's got some skills, right? Then you got,
you would lose at this game.
Then
by
you
the
have this lizard. I would totally lose. Then you have this lizard who has the same marking on his back and fakes like he's a beetle when he walks, when he thinks he's in trouble. And that's the nerd. He doesn't really have any way to defend himself. He has no actual defense. But he's smart and outwits the jocks by faking like he's the beetle. So maybe the mongoose is the jock in this story. Anyway, so there's my fake way of putting all that in there. And then what was the other? There was another category. Or the prop. It had to be white. What was it? Red, blue, or white?
Red, white, or blue, yep.
There's this bird.
They flew the American flag.
He can to attract a mate, and he only does this when it's mating season. He's this ugly, disgusting little black bird, but when it's time to impress the mate, he like blows up into this huge white plume of like gorgeous birdman plume, and that's how he attracts him. And it's kind of a prop to get noticed by the ladies. So there you go. I cheated, but I didn't cheat that bad.
It's also cheat ever.
I had no time though. This week
you
was crazy.
It's going to say that whole thing.
This week was crazy. I had no time. But it's so good, and I just want to recommend it because it's great, and anything David Attenborough talks over is great, and I love it. So I'm a huge nerd for that stuff, and I'm really enjoying life. Life is good. Anyway.
Life is good.
Life is good. All right, Nicole.
Here's mine.
Give me yours.
All right, here you go.
All right.
I think, I think we should get back together.
Why?
What?
Why? Give me one good reason why. No, you know what? Screw that. No, Mike, my answer is no.
No? You mean you don't want me to take you back? Because I'm serious about this, Amanda. You should really think about this.
Think about what, Mike? That you're a childish, self-centered asshole? Mike, take me back, please. Look, you're drunk, okay? And we're over, so why don't you just walk away now and save yourself the embarrassment?
Oh, yeah? Yeah, well, you're the one, Amanda, who's gonna be embarrassed. Who's gonna want you now?
Amanda.
Did we lose Scott?
No, I'm here.
You're doing something else?
I'm just listening intently to the audio there. So is it over? You finished it?
It's not Can't Buy Me Love, is it?
No.
Is it?
Because we've already done that. But
So this has jocks, nerds, and punks.
Mm-hmm.
And the prop are graduation gowns that are red.
Oh, so you totally win this game. What? Give me the year. When was this made?
I believe it was in the 90s. It's 98.
Okay.
It's one of Mark's favorite movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh.
Who are the actors? Can you give us that?
Oh, this is a great list of actors. So you were listening to, of course I'm going to blank on all the actors right now. Let me go back. Jennifer Love Hewitt, Seth Green.
Okay.
That was Peter Fancinelli or whatever.
Fancinelli, yeah. Right.
Fancinelli.
yes, Peter Fancinelli. That's it.
Right, he's Coop on Nurse Jackie.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Coop.
He was also in Twilight.
Yeah, right. He was a vampire in that.
That reading you were playing before we came on was from Twilight.
What? Which was?
When the girl was reading about making love.
Oh.
To the guy.
Oh, that's from Twilight.
It sounded like it was from Twilight.
Oh, maybe it was
a reading of Twilight, I think it was.
Did it go under, because he drove under the studio banner or something, right?
Yeah, like it may have been fan fiction or something. I don't think it was the actual book.
Wow, that would be...
well, that's what, 50 Shades...
Twilight fanfic?
Well,
wasn't that 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey started as fan fiction and then became its own thing. By the way, I decided that I needed to quit being a fudgy naysayer about how stupid that must be, and I decided to watch that movie. It's terrible.
What, 50 Shades?
Yes. It's an awful, stupid, dumb movie. It is dumb, dumb, dumb. Like, it's not, I didn't find one, except I think the girl actually is pretty good as an actress.
Mm-hmm. Shailene.
That's the most I'm going to give them. Right. The rest of it is frickin' garbage, and I don't just mean it's smutty. I'm not even talking about that. I knew what I was getting into there. It's just that it's just bad. It's badly made film. It's garbage.
The movie I'm telling you about is actually a fun movie.
All right,
it's Can't Hardly Wait.
Even if I
had not seen that in the chat room, as soon as you said Jennifer Love Hewitt and Seth Green or Seth Green, I would have gotten it from that.
And Emery, he plays kind of like the guy that everybody likes, and love with Jennifer Love Hewitt's character, and there's like this love thing going on, and of course you have Seth Green, who he's hilarious. he's trying so hard to fit in, and he ends up he's friends with Lauren Ambrosia.
Lauren Ambrose from 6 Feet Under. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's in it too.
She has a Coverville T-shirt.
No way.
Yeah.
That's cool. Does she wear it?
No idea, but
she wears it to bed.
You know, I can only imagine. I can only hope.
Every night. Wash that thing. Jeez.
It's a fun movie. I mean, it captures the 90s. Like, I was rewatching it and just listening to the music and seeing the styles and that late 90s feel where people, I don't know, it's just, it captures it great.
All right, so. Not bad. And it's on Netflix, you say?
It's on Netflix. And that line, the clip that I played where he's like, Amanda, is one that I think about every time I meet somebody named Amanda.
Oh, great. You don't call him that, though, right? When you're...
Oh, no.
Nice to meet you, Amanda.
That clip goes through my head when I meet somebody named
Amanda. Yeah. Well, yes, that's awesome. These are all good ones. Two on Netflix, one on Amazon Prime streaming, and all very good. By the way, 50 Shades of Grey got 25% Rotten Tomatoes. That is too high. 25% is even too high. I would put this at like
streaming on Netflix.
It was on HBO, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it sucks. Oh my gosh, it sucks. It's just banal and dumb and just.
Does it get you hot though?
No, it made me annoyed. I didn't even like my popcorn. Even tasted funny. It was just like, this is just bad.
This movie's so bad it made my popcorn taste funny.
Yeah, that's how bad that movie is.
I love that. All right.
use that next time you see a bad movie.
I will totally use that.
It's a free one. All right, Nicole, always fun, always good. We need to do a theme for next week. What do you want to do?
All right, I'm going to pick one right now.
All right, here we go.
The theme is feel good.
Feel good.
Okay.
And I'll do setting.
All right.
The West.
The West, Brian.
Good old feel good Western.
That's fine with me. I got one already. I'm good. I am all good on that. But nobody do that Adam Sandler thing that just came out. Because it doesn't feel.
Ridiculous 6.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, that doesn't look good.
Feels very bad.
Right.
All right. So there you go. There it is. Feel good, and it's set in the West.
Right. Not necessarily a Western, just set in the West.
The West. It could be California. It could be actually anything west of the Mississippi, if we're talking about the states, or technically you could say Britain, because technically that's part of the West. Mm-hmm. Western. Yeah. You could cheat.
No, I veto that right now.
You could cheat all over this thing.
No.
So Western America.
All right. Fine. Anything past, let's say anything, yes, anything west of the Mississippi in the United States, that's fair.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Even if it's cool. Like Nebraska or something?
I like how we have to stipulate all the guidelines for the country.
Well, you have to, or else Scott will do another nature documentary and say that they're jocks and nerds in it. Nicole's bag is her Twitter name. Go follow her, and Recommendals on Twitter as well. That's where we keep track of these things. And
I've kind of fallen off.
She's been real bad about it lately, but it's all right. You know what?
I do put all the movies we talk about on the Twitter feed.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I want.
You miss it. We're like, what did they say? What movie was that?
Yep.
Go to the Twitter feed.
Go do that. Yep. It's life. Life's the big one this week. That's the one you want to see is life. All right, Nicole, stay out of trouble. See you later.
Very good.
All right, Brian.
Yes.
We've come to that part of the show where I nervously click on the name of one of the smartest people I know and hope that we stand his, you know, the great test, the ability to look like we know what we're talking about in the face of one Tom Merritt.
I can only hope to be able to understand what he talks about.
Yeah.
And let alone contribute to it.
Yeah, if we can just conceive of what he means. Where the hell is my phone? Okay, hold hey. On. I'm sorry. Oh, hi. Wait, I got to click your thing. Oh, shit.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
It is the man, the one, the only, the Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom Merritt.
Hello, Brian and Scott.
Hi.
Hello,
how are you?
I'm good. I'm not sure how I got in here.
Oh, did you? I hope you didn't hurt yourself or anyone in the process.
Well, no, it was weird. Like, Skype told me an untitled thing was calling me.
Oh.
So I canceled that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know anyone named Untitled. All the people I know have titles. And then the next thing I know, you guys popped up, so I accepted that. But then you're in the middle of a conversation, so I was like, did they actually call me?
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, I didn't hear you click in. And so when we first saw your thing, it was yellow saying you weren't there, and then it didn't pick up. And we thought, oh, well, he's probably running around, so I was about to text you. So I paused everything to save it, and then we were just chatting, and then there you were!
Yeah, it was weird.
Oh, Skype's
weird Skype day.
It's a Skype miracle, really.
All good now.
Tom Merritt is the the technology head of Wednesdays. He comes on here and talks to us about tech and what's happening.
He's got a title.
The head of technology, Esquire.
Head of technology for Wednesdays.
Exactly. Later today, I get the auspicious CTO opportunity to be on my usual Wednesday spot of his DTNS show, which I also love doing. And what's going on in the world of tech today? What's happening?
Well, we'll talk about Apple some on Daily Tech News Show. And yes, Android fans, you can scoff and say, yeah, like, well, so it's another day in the week. But Apple had an earnings report yesterday, which we touched on briefly because it came out right during the show. But Tim Cook had lots to say on the earnings call. So there's lots to say about that. Essentially, it's all like Apple had another record-breaking quarter, but it wasn't as good as people wanted it to be. And their forecast for next quarter shows them actually dropping revenue for the first time year over year. Is Apple done? Is Apple going to go down in flames? I was going to talk about that with you guys, but then I got sidetracked looking at Starry Internet from Chet Kanojia, the founder of Aereo. This is his new gig.
Whoa.
Star Internet, you said?
Starry.
Starry Internet.
Like Starry Night.
Oh, okay. Tell me more. I'm intrigued. I have no idea what this even is.
They just, it was codenamed Project Decibel, if you've heard that bandied around. They just unveiled it. The idea is to give you up to gigabyte speeds wirelessly to your home. Mm-hmm. They haven't talked about how much it will cost you, but their big pitch today was, it cost the cable guys around $2,500 a home in construction costs to lay down the cable. It costs us about $25 a home to deliver this. So we'll be able to deliver this internet at much cheaper rates.
Wow.
Now, that's not $25 a month. That doesn't mean their service will be $25 a month or anything. It just means we can deliver this much cheaper. And the idea is they're using millimeter waveband active phase array technology, which I know you guys know what it is.
Oh, yeah. It's right. I've got a book about that right next to my Bitcoin book
that
right
you wrote.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's similar to the technology that they were using to collect the wireless signals for Aereo.
Oh.
So they've taken some of that technology and flipped it on its head. And the simple version is they put a node in a highly populated area that then is able to bounce wireless internet off buildings and blanket the area in coverage. You get this little thing called the Starry Point. Is it the Starry Point? Yeah, and that sits outside your window.
I hate this name. I just
signal
wanna, I just
and
wanna...
then creates a wired connection into your house.
Yeah.
And you can buy for $350 an optional router from them called the Starry Station, which has all these bells and whistles allowing you to monitor the health of your connection, shut down kids from visiting nasty sites and all that kind of thing.
So interesting. I mean, wireless internet in the past has always had a bit of a bad rap because,
yeah.
I mean, one of the earliest broadband providers I even had access to in the early 2000s was a company who did a wireless internet solution that brought about 1.5 megs or something down and something equivalent to, I don't know, 500K up or something to the house, and it was via wireless, and we were thrilled to get it because it was about the best I could do at the time, but it was real wonky in terms of consistency. It was always kind of up and down. Has this technology got any sort of assurances based in it that will, you know, help me not have that kind of experience again?
It is full of insurances.
Great.
Insurances. I just said instead of assurances.
Yeah.
It carries insurance. I'm sure they're insured.
Okay, good.
We haven't seen it in use. So all we have is their word. But they're saying, look, we're operating in the 30 gigahertz spectrum, which is currently unused. We think our technology can deliver high speeds up to a gigabit per second very reliably. It should be indistinguishable from a wired connection to your home. Mm-hmm. Because of the way we're running it. And there have been similar projects like this that are either mesh networks or node-delivered networks like this one in various areas. And we've talked about some of them on DTNS. So it's not outlandish for them to claim this. It's not like, oh my gosh, this has never been done. This is vaporware. It's all a matter of, okay, can they operate it? Mm-hmm. The technology certainly exists for them to do this. Can they make it work in the real world?
Right. I'm all in on this, by the way. It excites me a lot because the idea of, well, just purely from the standpoint of here's a technology or a applied technology with the right financial backing that could actually disrupt the current status quo would be real nice right around now.
Yeah, any kind of competitor to where you might have more than one or two choices would be amazing.
Yeah.
And you can point to competition and say, well, there's plenty of dial-up providers.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of DSL providers. But if you really like say, look, I need 25 megabits per second, I'm going to go with the US FCC's definition of broadband, the number of providers goes way down. And if you're like us, and you're like, well, actually, 25 is kind of low. You know, we'd like at least 100, and gigabit would be pretty awesome because it's possible. Well, now you've got a competitor that can deliver up to a gigabit per second, which is great.
Anything in this news about timing? Like when we
Yes, it's coming to Boston. So let's all move to Boston.
Perfect.
On February 5th, if you live in Boston, and probably not all of Boston, my guess is only in certain neighborhoods, they're going to start rolling it out. But February 5th is when it launches.
Wow. I'm great. Very, very interested in this. And I hadn't even heard of it until you came on the show today.
Well, yeah, they just had their press conference this morning. What's funny is they sent the press release to us at Cord Killers last week that they would be making the announcement about Project Decibel, and they didn't let on what it was about. So Brian and I were like, "Whoa, is he gonna come back with another TV video service?" But I did some poking around. CNET had a good article, kind of uncovering everything they could tell, and it seemed like it was going to be a networking or ISP type thing. And it turns out it's both.
Well, I'm all in. So hope they spread soon. We've been lucky in Salt Lake City as being a pilot town for a lot of these sort of things, or one of them. Google Fiber, one of the initial cities, is here, and others, and we also had Aereo when it existed briefly.
Right.
I hope that that's true here as well. I don't know why they see it as a good market for that, but they do tend to. So I hope we get
probably
to see
the
it.
Lake.
Maybe. Or, you know, it's all that salt.
All that salt absorbs extra bits.
That's it.
I don't know.
I don't know what it is either. I think we have an interesting layout, like literally geographically, the way the city works is probably helpful for them to get some data on how it would function.
One of the biggest things about this is, when you want to be a wired provider, it is incredibly difficult to get regulatory approval, which is why, although I laughed at it, when LA said we want to be friendly to fiber, they just said we'll make it easier for you to get permission to do it. We're not going to fund you. But that was attractive enough to get interest. Like, just getting the permissions to use poles and dig up streets can stop someone from starting an ISP. So what Kanoji is doing is saying we don't need any of that. We just need a building to approve us to put our node on their roof, which they're probably going to give them either a discount or free internet in exchange for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom. We can cover, I'm not sure, I haven't seen specs on how far, but we can cover a populated area. And it, again, $25 versus $2,500. Like, that's a huge drop in rollout costs.
That's infrastructure that you can, I mean, that's money well spent in other ways.
And unused spectrum that they can already use. I mean, it all sounds pretty great on paper.
Yeah, it does. I wonder how it works rurally, too. Like, let's say that they have a full rollout in big cities and stuff. Is this thing even a possibility for a more rural state or area?
Yeah, it seems like you need to have multiple people. And I can't tell if it's mesh. I don't think it is. But you need to have a populated area for the economics to work out. Otherwise, you'd just be popping a node on everybody's house, which then I think raises the expense per person.
Yeah, that'd be a lot more than $25, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, we'll talk more about this later today. I am 100% sure about that. Brecky's our guest, isn't he not?
Yeah, Brecky Thomason's going to join us.
Yeah, a little Swede in there.
Give us a little Northern Europe perspective.
Yeah, a little Icelandic Swede man going to come on there, hang out and talk. That'll be good.
I think he's that little.
Yeah.
Normal size.
He's not that little.
He's full size.
Yeah.
You made him sound like he's elfin.
He's actually real tall, I think.
Elves are actually really tall in Tolkien, so I guess he could
That's be true. Elfin. Man, do you remember, I don't know if you guys are like me, but when you were a little kid, elves were Santa Claus elves.
Yeah, right. They're more keyboard, short, right? Yeah. But they're little short guys with green hats.
Yeah. They either made cookies or prepared your gifts. And when you got older, you were suddenly said, people said to you, hey, you should read this Lord of the Rings business. Why? There's elves in it. And my brain would just immediately say, oh, little tiny guys.
Yeah, right.
Nope, they're called hobbits.
Hugo Weaving isn't a little tiny guy. How is that possible?
Yeah. I mean, it really weirded me out.
Yeah.
And when I was young,
what's
and I'm
funny
over
about
it now.
That, too, is he wrote it in the 30s. Yeah. So, like, and it was published in the 50s. Mm-hmm. So by the time we got around to our elf mythology, you would have thought Tolkien-esque elves would have started to dominate. But.
No, not here. Not here in our war against Christmas, where it's constantly being reminded how short they are. Anyway, that'll be today, 2:30 Mountain Time. That would be 1:30 Pacific. DailyTechNewsShow.com for details. Tom, anything else you'd like to mention?
I would like to mention that a very brand new spanking episode of Let's Talk About Star Wars is out at letstalkaboutstarwars.com. Jenny and Garrett and I discuss a previously undiscussed theory on the lineage of Rey.
Oh, interesting.
Whoa. I need to now get this now.
Something I was going to get it anyway. Came up with just a couple of days ago that I popped on them in the show, and it's probably not true, but it's fun to discuss.
Well, how did it, just give us a hint, how did it land on them? Did they buy your story or no?
It landed on them as, ooh, but wait.
Ooh, but wait.
Yeah.
Okay. I've heard that before in my life.
Wow.
That was most of
Rey
my
Rey is the daughter of Kirk and the White Queen.
Exactly. No, the Borg Queen.
Spoilers.
Yeah,
thanks, Borg Brian. Now they don't have to listen.
Excellent work as always. Tom Meredith Detect on Twitter. Do check out all his many things. And Tom, we'll see you later today.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
Bye now. All right. How do I hang with this?
Stay around.
Okay. All right, some quick emails and calls before we leave fine folks today. For example, this email from Stacy wrote in, says, I'm no expert, right? But bees and wasps are separate species. So when Brian says, but they're not the nasty bees, what he's actually referring to is wasps. Yes, I'm shouting, he says. It's not me, him. Then there are hornets. No, they are not really big bees. They too are a separate species. Clear? Now let the snow flow, Stacy.
Well, so Stacy's first thing in there is, I'm no expert, right? Mm-hmm. And that's accurate because there are carpenter bees, which are the ones that can sting you multiple times. Yep. There are the bumblebees, which I talked about, the big, slow, dopey ones. Yeah. There are honeybees. There are the killer bees.
Yep. Killer, so African whatever bees.
Those are all the same species. I'm not talking about wasps. I'm pretty much talking about carpenter bees and honeybees, which are the ones, well, honeybees can only sting you once. Carpenter bees can sting you a bunch of times, and they're the nasty bees.
Yeah, you don't want those bees. Those bees are bad.
So no, I'm not talking about wasps. I'm not talking about yellow jackets. Yep. I'm not talking about anything else but bees.
Let me make it simple for you. Here's what I'm talking about. Anything that goes and anything that has a thing in its butt that wants to go into my skin and make me hurt.
Right.
Those are the things I don't like.
Right.
I don't care how many species there are. Any one of those lands on my ham sandwich and I have a spasm.
Any of those are hiding in the crumpled up leaf that you're grabbing off the tree.
Exactly. All right. We got a call here about something. So here it is. Where is it? Oop. Gosh dang it. I don't have it up. There it is. All right. Here's this. Wait, is that the one? Yeah, here we go.
Scott, Brian, Morning Stream. What's with the rule to not talk about Fury Road? I'm a long-time listener. I had to sit through all the West Wing talks. I think, the newcomer should have to bear through the Fury Road talk there. Now, don't vote not to talk about the show, though.
I hope that's his real accent, by the way. there's some people have taken issue. Here's the thing. I've had some people straight up stand up and go, Scott should not be told what he can or can't say. I believe he should be able to talk about whatever he wants. And then you have a whole other bunch saying, if you bring up Fury Road one more time, I'm going to pop or whatever.
Right, right.
By the way, I'm saying the word now because now we're talking about it, okay? This is how this works.
The thing, the nominations have been announced and the donations have already made their way to the Alzheimer's, to the Aloha Society. So
yeah, that's my main point, is that was a thing that was happening and we wanted to support that. So
right. And it wasn't a rule. It wasn't me saying, and that's the funny thing. Somebody else was like on Twitter, well, I hope Scott gives Brian some serious smugness now because of the nomination.
It was never you.
It was never me. I mean, I did at the beginning say that, no, I don't think it's going to get a nomination. And I recanted that when I saw the other awards it was getting. So granted, I was on the opposing side initially, but
you were never smug about it.
I was never smug about it, nor would I feel like you would take that opportunity to dance on my hat or whatever. Well,
all I've really complained about since is that all this talk about not enough diversity in the Oscars has led people to say, well, maybe like Lewis Black the other day, the commentary / comedian man, said that he thinks that Straight Outta Compton should be in Fury Road's place.
Oh.
Now, while I think Straight Outta Compton...
Why can't they just be together?
Why can't it be? There were 10 slots. They only used 8.
Right.
I agree it should have been in there. Absolutely. But you don't sacrifice Max and his story right. just because you think it's better than that. Slip yeah. it in there. I'm still not even saying it wins. I'm just saying there was 10 slots and you put 8 in there, and if you wanted Compton in there, you should have voted it in, and I agree 100%. But don't throw Max and Furiosa and all their friends under the bus.
Right.
Under the exactly. giant bus with guns attached to it and welded cars and stuff. Don't do that.
And you know what? You can count Mad Max Fury Road as a sequel, and it's another one of those, you know, one of the very, very few group of movies that are sequels that are nominated for Best Picture. Very, very few.
Very rare. The only three I can think of is Godfather 2, which I think also won, didn't it?
Yes.
Win that year? Okay. Yes. So that's, and that may be the first and only that ever won for a sequel and won right. for the original. But anyway, so there's that.
Return of the King.
Return of the King's a sequel. That's
was
all
the
I
Two
can...
Towers nominated?
Yes. Was it? Maybe not.
I think so.
It may have been nominated, but definitely, yeah, I don't remember for sure.
And but, Godfather 3, I think, was even nominated as well, but...
that movie was poo.
Yeah, it was poo. It really didn't belong in there.
What's the other... there's one other one. What is it I'm trying to think of here? For best picture we're talking about. Not anything else. I can't think of it now. Ugh. There was one other one.
Silence of the Lambs was kind of a sequel, right? Because Manhunter?
Oh, right. Manhunter... Exactly. Manhunter, well, I don't know if it was a sequel, but it's in the line of story.
Exactly, yeah.
So technically, yeah. I guess right. so. That was a good movie, wasn't it?
Silence of the Lambs,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it's so good. Which is the one where he eats Ray Liotta's brain.
That's,
is that Hannibal?
Hannibal.
Hannibal, yeah.
Right.
Spoiler, he eats Ray Liotta's brain.
Oh, man.
Final call, this one is, I don't know what this is.
I'm just sick and tired of listening to you both. Neocon, bleeding heart, gun loving, tree hugging, skinhead, commie loving, racist, socialist, bigoted, atheist, Bible thumping, rat bastard, some bitches. Now, one way or t'other, you both are gonna have to answer the zombie baby Jesus riding flying spaghetti monster and his baby pet raptor. Love the show though, bye.
Awesome. Wow. You know, that really was the most non politically aligned rant I've ever heard.
And it's amazing how that kind of sounded a little bit like Sarah Palin's Sarah Palin's the Trump speech, mm-hmm. Trump appearance.
Yeah, her Trump stump.
Her Trump stump.
Yeah, that's what they call his wiener.
Make America glape again. I love it.
Glape. There you go. That's your emails and that's your calls, and we love doing those.
Glape.
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 Let's get out of here.
Okay.
If you want to be a part of the show in that way, it's real easy. Leave those voice messages at 801-471-0462. Please keep those coming. We love them. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is the email address. As always, if you want to support this show, and we love it when you do, patreon.com/TMS. It gets you all kinds of great rewards, including, at any level, access to our Slack, which is a private Slack group, which is bumping, man.
It's so much good stuff going on there.
I'm impressed. I didn't expect it. I knew people would be like, oh yeah, hey, love the show, just whatever, you know, but they are going nuts. Like, there is like amazing threads on things I'm way into.
Right. There's a thread where people can submit their favorite stories for the show too, like their favorite articles that we've used.
Yeah, we definitely use them. And they used a couple yesterday and I think one today.
Yeah.
If you want to be a part of that, it's simple. Just come on in at any level. You have to stay in there to keep using it. It's not like a ticket, and then you never leave.
As soon as you miss a payment, you are evicted.
Yeah. How's it go? What's the Eagles song? It's Hotel California. You can something there, but you can never leave.
Check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
There you go. It's the opposite of that.
Exactly. That has absolutely nothing. Well done.
It's got a nerd, a jock, and a white thing in it. Anyway, there you go. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website that has all things pointing to it. You can follow us on Twitter, @Coverville for Brian, @ScottJohnson for me, and @MorningStream for the show. Frogpants.reddit.com is our subreddit. We also use articles from there. There's a lot of chatter happening there as well. I think that's going to do it. Let's get out now while we can with something from Brian resembling musical something.
Right. Well, Jonathan wrote in, said, hey there, Sunny and Bright. Looking to request any cover of or by Torontonian artist Billy Talent to commemorate 5 years since my run-in with ball cancer at the age of 24.
Oh, geez. Sorry, I didn't expect it to go there, but okay. No. Keep going.
F that cancer, S in the face. Right. A punk rock band like Billy Talent should do the job. Don't let me down, though. Signed, Jonathan.
All right.
Billy Talent. It's a band I was unfamiliar with actually prior to this email, but when did some digging and discovered them, it's like, oh, these guys are great. In 2009, they released an EP called Rusted from the Rain. On there, you'll find this great version of John Lennon's Cold Turkey. Closing out now with Billy Talent and Cold Turkey.
Of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Guacamole, guacamole.